Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with the wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins will be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading comes from Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not complain, proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him." These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Julius farmed Boone County. He didn't farm Boone County, Missouri, though. When that county in Nebraska celebrated its centennial, he wrote a chapter for the book that was to be published of the county's history. And in that chapter, he spoke about his concern that modern technology created a strain on all who engaged in farming. He wrote that the invention of tractors and combines and so much machinery made it possible for farmers to work without taking time to rest. He argued that when farmers used horses and mules to pull the farm implements, humans got their much needed rest precisely because they had to rest the animals. Humans took time to eat because they had to feed the animals. In similar fashion, technology like artificial light, the light bulb, allows people to work independent of the outside light. The natural boundary between work time and rest time has disappeared. This suggests that modern technology generates a distance between human relationship with light, the cycles of the sun, whether they be daily, seasonally, or annually. People forget the importance of daylight hours when they can plant and harvest in tractors and combines guided by self-steering GPS. They forget the importance also of things like salt with the advent of refrigeration. Perhaps most importantly, people lose their connection with the metaphors that Jesus uses to communicate with those who have gathered around him. In the first century, salt had value, extreme value. It served as a preservative, it seasoned food, and in fact, it was so valuable that the Roman military used it as a form of payment. It was traded as though it was money. Certainly, salt often included impurities, and sometimes those impurities outstripped the salt's value and taste. Several commentators note that Jesus is not teaching chemistry this week. Instead, Jesus teaches lessons about life. Salt that loses its saltiness from a chemistry perspective is no longer salt. What Jesus does, though, involves sharing images, metaphors to help people see the kingdom of heaven that he has announced. Indeed, he offers these word pictures to invite people to see the kingdom of heaven come near. The primary audience at this point consists of people who are living on the edge of existence. These are people who are poor, who live at the end of their rope, who need words of hope and peace and life. Jesus offered that. But Jesus also offered healing and restoration and renewal of community and relationship to these people whom the culture, the society, indeed, the religious and political leaders say, "You have no value to us." Jesus says, "You are salt. You are light." To hopeless people whom the world does not value, Jesus says, "You are of immense value." More so, the value of salt and light extends beyond the immediate and the obvious. As Phil Ruge Jones notes in the early Sermon Seeds post, the value of salt and light includes the way they enhance all they contact. Their purpose brings flavor and life to what is not salt and light. Bible scholars remind today's people, listener, that when Jesus says this, he speaks not just to individuals, but rather to the whole group. His announcement speaks less to you individually and more to y'all collectively. Yes, individuals act. And yes, the true power of the kingdom of heaven comes when the community acts together. This action enacts blessing for those who experience hopelessness, who grieve, who have no wealth by whatever measure or standard. These deeds of blessing change the very nature of life, the culture, the social and community structures that surround the faithful. Now, today at the early service, Troops 706 and 523, both of which are chartered through St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, attended worship with us for Scout Sunday. And as I read the Scout Oath, I noted that while it is an individual commitment, the commitments of the Scout Law and the Scout Oath call each Scout to collective action for the bettering of life for individuals and the world around them.
Scouts commit themselves to be salt and light in the world. So too do all the baptized children of God. At affirmation of baptism, the faithful commit to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God and Christ through word and through deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. These commitments in response to God's pre-existing love, forgiveness, and grace embody salt and light for the world. Together, the church lives this kingdom of heaven come near in seeking to embody care for the poor, for the sick, for the thirsty, the imprisoned, for all who are made, for whatever reason, to feel worthless. In the same way, let the y'all's light shine before others so that they may see y'all's good works and give glory to God in heaven. In many ways, Julius wrote, probably 30 years ago, out of concern for humanity, indeed out of concern for creation, Julius wrote from a position of concern that people tended not to honor their relationship with their family, with their community, with themselves, and particularly with the poor, the grieving, and the hopeless. He expressed it in concern about how modern technology interfered with the natural patterns in what see today as strange way, he called for the return to the fundamental commitments of the reign of God. In the end, Jesus speaks what already is. Y'all are salt. Y'all our light. In living this, all y'all fulfill God's law. Love God, love your neighbor. Do this, teach this, live this, and Jesus will call all y'all great in the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.